Welcome, listeners, to Critic of Everything, where we discuss media that matters. We have a bit of a special feature for you this week. I'm sitting here in a beautiful parking lot in Buena Park, California, with my good friend Josh. Josh, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. This is Josh Thomas. Good to be with you. I am currently a teacher, but in the media world, I write plays, I review plays, I'm trying to get into directing and producing, and I'm of the belief that all media should be educational and all entertainment should be educational and vice versa, you know? I think there's a lot that media has to teach us. Either way, we're going to be learning something, so let's make it useful.
Yeah, let's make it useful. And today we're here to discuss something very useful and very big right now. It's called Black Panther. We know that Black Panther's been out for a while, and don't worry, we loved Black Panther, and we don't want to detract from any of the things that other people loved about it. So you can think of this feature as a little bit more of like a fan fiction. We're trying to like put things into this movie that might help the franchise in the future for the sequels, etc., etc. So we're just going to be talking about some things that we liked and wanted to improve on in Black Panther. Again, we don't want to offend anybody. Like I said, consider this a fan fiction. We like all of the actors. We like all the production design. We like the main messages. We just are throwing out some ideas. Maybe the producers will long shot listen to this and think, hey, good idea. So that's kind of how we're going to proceed moving forward. Josh, you might offend some people.
Yes. Full disclaimer. I am a black man, so I'm going to have some differing opinions from Natalie. Some that are going to be the same. And some that are going to be surprising to even you guys. So let's see what happens here.
So the first thing we wanted to talk about was the Michael B. Jordan character, Eric, what was his last name?
Killmonger.
Oh yeah, Killmonger. Eric Killmonger.
One who monges on killing.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people. We really liked that character, and we were a little disappointed that he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, in the grand scheme of things, he needed to die, actually.
Nor do I.
I'm not sure if there was a contract issue with Michael B. Jordan or what the case was, but I didn't feel like the story needed him to die.
Yeah. Yeah, we feel like there could have been, like, a lot of potential there, specifically with his backstory. So you guys know that, if you're listening to this, we're assuming you've seen the movie. And it says,
if you haven't, go see it.
Yeah, go see it.
Happy Wakanda to you.
And it says that his dad was from Wakanda, right?
Yes.
And he fell in love with a black woman, not from Wakanda.
Yes, an African-American woman in the United States.
In the United States. So we're thinking, like, what about her? Like, what happened to her? We know he's an orphan, but I have a couple of ideas about her backstory. Do you have any?
I don't know. I didn't really care too much to hear the mother's backstory. I understood that was to set up the character and why his tie back to Wakanda. I got that. But I didn't really care too much for the parental backstory. I did want to see more about Killmonger's upbringing and then how he, after his father died, how he transformed into the angry rage killing machine that we met in the movie.
So we know that he's an orphan, and that's kind of essential because he is like feels like all of the abandonment and feels like, you know, his.
Oh, did we give a spoiler alert?
I already told him.
Okay,
that.
Okay, good. Just, spoiler alert, just to be official. About
yeah, it. But I was thinking, like, what if his mom was one of the like original Black Panthers, like in the 70s and 80s? Like, what if she's incarcerated? You know, like, what if that's why he's like all alone? Because we know his dad dies in a very controversial political move. But I thought it would be kind of cool if he, like, stuck around and maybe, like, used some of his connections and things that he'd made. Like, because he's Wakandan, but he's been living in the world. Mm-hmm. So I think that could, like, really be beneficial. Like, I kind of would have liked to see him, like, convert sides. So maybe not be, like, so militant. But
to start with?
Yeah. Well, no, like, by the end, you know, when he's, like, dying and T'Challa's like, we can save you. But he's like,
just bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships. Because they knew death was better than bondage.
there was a moment where he has that self-realization that he had done too much, that he had become too militant and too angry, and that all of the things he was working for, because as I understand it, Killmonger's, one of his points was, I need to return to the homeland so that I can reconnect with my people and then lead them to brighter sunlit uplands, to steal from Churchill, Darkest Hour, shout out Gary Oldman. But, back to the story, I feel he realizes too late, which is well done, that he had paradise in front of him. He could have worked with T'Challa, with the Wakandans, to bring about the change he wished to see in the world. And then he sees that, shoot, I didn't even take the time to smell the daisies, to enjoy Wakanda as it is. I didn't even get that chance. I got in here, I fought T'Challa, I started a militant uprising, I burned some magic flowers, and then now I'm dying. Not the greatest victory lap there.
Which kind of brings us back to our original feeling, which was that we didn't feel that the movie
required
needed a true villain. Nope. I mean, it is a kids' movie, so kids need to see a bad guy, who originally we thought was Andy Serkis,
yes,
Ulysses. But I kind
of... Wow, for those of you.
But I kind of feel like the bad guy here was almost like, it should have been like fear. Because the central conflict of Black Panther was whether or not Wakanda should expose its power.
Right.
And I think like Killmonger expressed that, yes, like they should use their power to help the suffering people of the world. And T'Challa had a bit more diplomatic approach. But ultimately also wanted to see the same thing happen. So, I don't know, I just felt like there could have been a villain. I mean, like, a villain that was a little more evil. Because we kind of liked...
Yeah.
Killmonger.
Because I was watching, shout out to Just Right Things YouTube channel. They were talking, one of the gentlemen on there were talking about the difference between Killmonger being a traditional villain and what we actually saw. So, to be honest with you, and I agree with this assessment, Killmonger isn't a villain. He is an antagonist, yes. He makes T'Challa and the Wakandans see a different way of being and to think in a different way, right? And that's what you were talking about. More, not isolationist, but the opposite of isolationism, which is the open border policy. Let's start being a global... actor, let's start interacting with the world. All right. But what really Killmonger is at the end of the day, Batman. He's Batman, right? He has the same story arc. He has parents who, or at least a parent, who was killed at a very young age. He uses that trauma to hone his skills and uses the rage to become a force for justice. In his case, it's not against just the evils of Gotham, but in fact, it's the evils of racial injustice and global oppression, right? And then he becomes this war machine that is able to exact his worldview onto the world stage. So he is essentially a tragic hero in the veins of Batman, right? So he's not a villain. We actually like him because we agree. He has the right idea. There needs to be a change in the world.
Yeah.
African-Americans and the oppressed need to be able to rise up and to take their agency into their own hands.
Well, and eventually I think he accomplishes what he set out to do, which was...
Yes.
I mean, personally, I'm not a huge fan of, like, Marvel action sequences with the planes exploding. Whatever, but T'Challa,
full-scale destruction,
you know, like, blow everything up. But I think that T'Challa saw his point by the end.
Yes.
And he decided to...
Both characters are able to change their mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, but Killmonger did do something that we are not cool with, which is that he burned all the little magical flowers.
Let's talk about the magic flowers. So, the purple herb, right?
The purple herb. What happened to the purple herb? What are they going to do without the purple herb?
That's a problem.
Are they just going to pull some purple herb out of their butts?
Now, I don't think that's how herbs are actually germinated, Matt. But for all of you who are science folks, well, as we know from the movie, Killmonger was trained by, I believe it was the CIA, some type of clandestine special forces in the United States to destabilize governments, correct?
Yes.
Right? He goes in during times of turmoil or upheaval, transitions in power, and then he destabilizes it, topples the government. So this is what he's trained to do, and this is what he falls back on in Wakanda.
Okay, we know why he burned the herb.
Right. Sorry, I'm big on context. But here's the thing. It doesn't really fit with the plan. Here's a big writing issue for me. If he was actually trying to expand Wakanda's influence and force over the world, I personally would not destroy the herb. In fact, I took this from a friend. We would have the herb distributed across the world to specialized leaders in the revolution, right? So you would have somebody, a Black Panther in the United States. You'd have a Black Panther in Brazil. You'd have a Black Panther in Egypt, right? Using the herb. That seems to be a lot more in line with his ultimate goal of having a full-scale black revolution,
well,
right?
Let's go back to what you said about his training was in toppling governments.
Yeah.
Wakanda's government was stable.
Was super stable.
They weren't really...
But they had a period of transition between one king and to the next.
Sure. So maybe he did that as like a power display. But I agree with Josh. I think they needed to
burn the flowers
around. Yeah.
There was really no good point to burn the flowers. Now, what some could say, all right, look, he wants to be king for life. All hail Black Hitler, I guess. I don't know. But the point is here...
Let's not say Black
maybe
Hitler.
Not Black Hitler. Yeah, all right, fine. You know, tit-tat-tomato. But the issue here is it doesn't fit with his ultimate plan. And that's what comes and harkens back for me as an issue for Killmonger being a mature villain. A mature villain thinks through his whole plan. We look at...
Cruella de Vil.
We look at Scar. I know we're pulling a lot from Disney villains, but you look at Joker, right? Their philosophy is fleshed out. There's a maturity there where they aren't just making moves to make moves. Each move has a specific and a tautological an end to it, right? It's tied to something at the end to finish the whole goal. And burning the flowers didn't really work for me. Killing Zuri was an emotional move. But some might say, okay, that actually goes towards his character being an immature, rage-filled adolescent.
Was Zuri his girlfriend?
No. We actually didn't even get a name for the girlfriend. Zuri was Forrest Whitaker's character.
Oh, that's right.
The Rafiki. So Zuri, when he kills Zuri, it doesn't seem to be any real thought or reason for it, right?
He's making a statement. I mean, he's
What's a statement?
Well,
I'm angry at you?
Cool. Zuri, like, stood by while his father was killed.
Fine. Sure he did. He stood by. What are you going to do against the king of the... It's like, you're like standing next to Superman. He has the Black Panther suit. He's your king. You're frozen with fear right now. Your orders are to stand still. You're standing still, okay? It doesn't work.
All right.
That doesn't work.
I'm going to take that death. The death that I don't think anybody bought, except maybe the 8-year-olds who haven't seen 20 superhero movies in their life, was when T'Challa, quote-unquote... died.
Got thrown over that waterfall.
We all knew he wasn't dead, right?
It can't be. It's a titular character. It's called Black Panther.
Marvel doesn't kill people, or at least principals. It's actually one of their weak points.
It's
not killing heroes.
Get some Game of Thrones in them.
So we thought maybe an exile would have been like a little more appropriate. Gives him some perspective.
Yeah.
Going back to that whole Lion King thing when Simba is like...
Thrown
out of the Pride Lands. Although it doesn't really fit into the paradigm of Killmonger. He's a Killmonger, not
an exile monger.
But maybe if there was a way for the audience to know, like maybe we see like T'Challa bubbling to the surface of the lake or something. Yeah. Because we knew he wasn't dead. And I suppose that his loved ones didn't know that. But, you know, like,
Yeah. For me, this movie didn't actually need many deaths. In fact, I don't think it needed any deaths. All of the characters who were dead or killed could have remained alive and the show would have still worked.
Like, the Andy Serkis character was wildly entertaining.
I liked him.
Didn't really have a place in that movie, but I could have seen him popping up in, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm. They could have put him in jail in Wakandan prison.
I did really like that twist where you thought, like, he was going to be the bad guy and then
he turned out to be Killmonger.
Yeah.
I like that he was training Killmonger. Oh, here we go. Talking about the immaturity of Killmonger as a villain, specifically. In the beginning opening scenes where Killmonger and Clow are robbing the museum, right? There is a point where they have killed all of the guards, right? And Clow says we need to, or he lets one of them go a little bit away from the crime scene and then he shoots him. Killmonger asks, wait, how come you just didn't kill him right here? this kind of betrays a
Killmonger knew why.
No, he did not. No. He says, why didn't you just kill him with the other ones right here? Klaue says, well, the amateurs make it all tight. Well, no. Sorry, other way around. Amateurs spread out their crime scene, right? As a professional, Klaue knows if he's going to throw off the authorities, he's going to make it look like it's an amateur's job, not him doing it, right? A professional, a seasoned, trained killer, right? Mm-hmm. So that, for me, betrays another point towards Killmonger's immaturity in being a villain. He doesn't think everything through. He's very much, right now, if I was putting him on the scale, he's an adolescent 18-year-old, I'm angry at the world, I have a goal, but I'm not really sure how to get it yet.
And it doesn't really help that he looks so young.
He does look very young.
Right, I mean, he's very good-looking, but...
No comment.
But yeah, I think there was a lot of potential there with the villains. And since this is an origin story, it sets up the hero, but it also kind of sets up the villains and, like, the forces of evil in the world. And I think in the future Black Panther movies, like, there are going to be a lot of forces, like, working against, you know, the idea of Wakanda. Like, a lot of people that don't want to see them succeed, and I think there's, like, a lot of potential for symbolism there. Mm-hmm. I think that Ulysses and Killmonger could have really done a lot to facilitate that for audiences.
I think if Killmonger, now going back to him dying at the end, if Killmonger hadn't died, if they had rehabilitated him, because, I mean, what, he got a spear to the side? That's not terrible. I mean,
they brought What's-His-Nuts back.
Martin
Bilbo.
Freeman's character. Not Bilbo. Martin Freeman's character. Ross.
Thank you.
Agent Ross. So, they brought back Agent Ross's character. He had a bullet wound to the back. A little bit more dangerous than a spear to the side. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just going to go ahead and say one's easier to fix than the other. Coming to the...
More blood with the spear.
Right, if you take it out, then it starts puncturing the...
He took it out of himself.
Oh, he did. He took it out of himself. He was fine.
His whole thing was like, his ancestors knew that it was better to die free than live in a cage. But, you know...
I don't think that was necessary.
But I don't think he would have lived in a cage if he'd stayed alive. I mean, clearly he thought he would have, but...
We see T'Challa almost offering him the olive branch of peace, saying, you know what? We're going to forgive. We can't forget. But we're going to forgive. We're going to move on, because we've had enough of this... black-on-black violence. We've had enough of this, you know? It's time to move forward. Yeah. We see that change happening.
Yeah.
I believe mercy would have come to him.
Yeah, I agree.
And then we could have seen him in the sequel being on their side, right?
Right.
God knows they could have used another Black Panther-esque character of fighting Thanos, because Lord knows that's going to be a shit show.
Well, what is going to tick me off, though, is if they bring him back to life in one of the weird Marvel
spin-off
ways.
Shows.
Yeah, you know how they're like T'Challa came back to life, or like how any superhero that dies comes back to life. They're just like, okay, everything you know about science is wrong. We've actually discovered a loophole in this comic book universe, which, like, yes, it's a comic book universe, so technically it is a fantasy, but it's, like, kind of like the problem I had with Leia in Star Wars, where she, like, is not crushed by the vacuum of space.
Yeah, she should have been
like, I don't care how strong you are in the Force, I know it's a made-up world, but, like, No!
Wait, don't you get, like, in the vacuum of space, isn't it something like 39 seconds to a minute you get?
She definitely had, like, a good longer than that.
Good longer than that? The unspecified
And, like, you get it, like, that the Force is, like, keeping her together, but...
Nah, dog.
That was asking for me to spend too much reality. Ah. It's called science fiction.
Not fiction.
I guess it is kind of fantasy, but, yeah, I don't know.
Do you know about Infinity Stones and the Reality Gem?
Is that a Marvel thing?
Oh my gosh, that's the whole thing. That's everything.
Oh god.
But anyway, we're not going to get into the whole Infinity Gauntlet. Although, that could be a way to bring him back. Although, I don't know if he's that big of a character to use the Infinity Gems and Infinity Stones.
Is the Infinity War have something to do with the Infinity?
Oh my gosh! That's literally everything, Natalie.
Okay.
Thanos is coming with the gauntlet to repossess all of the Infinity Stones. We've got the Mind Gem. We've got... Again, I don't know if these are gems or stones. That I don't know. The Mind Stone / Gem. The Reality Stone / Gem. The Time Stone / Gem. And all the other ones that we've found out through... the other Marvel universes. Yeah, that's going to be a whole...
It's not just a war that lasts forever.
Well, it could.
That sounds much more up Marvel's alley.
It's a lot more money than that.
Anyway. There was one more thing I wanted to bring up vis-a-vis Black Panther.
All right. So next, what we're going to talk about is a little bit of the romance. Ooh. between Okoye, so that's played by Danny Gurira, and Wakabi, that is played by Daniel Kaluuya. And I said Kaluuya. That is correct. Kaluuya. Kaluuya.
Kaluuya. He's not a coffee drink.
No. Although, the best part of waking up could be some Kaluuya.
Ooh, how about that? So, you will probably recall the part where Okoye is, they're having the big fight, and there is one of those rhino things that's charging at her, and you
war
think...
War rhino!
And you think the war rhino is gonna get her, and then it gives her a big old lick on the face.
Oh,
and then you remember, oh yeah, her and Wakabi had a thing going.
Yeah.
Which was mentioned in, like, one line. One line. She, like, goes to visit the rhino.
She doesn't go to visit the rhino. She actually telephones it in. I remember watching this scene.
Oh, that's right.
There's a, you know, the little communication devices, the little palm pilots.
Help us, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, it's not a moon. Anyway, so yes, so there's one time they mention, maybe twice, that they are each other's loves. And then they don't signify that or indicate it ever again.
We never see this?
No.
We never hear about it again?
Nope.
These are two attractive people.
Very attractive.
We don't know why Marvel and big budget movies have such a fear of intimacy. There's like a real opportunity there, I thought.
Because I was so confused when the rhino stopped.
I was too.
I was like, wait, what is going on here?
We didn't even really get to see them have a face-to-face interaction. And I personally would have liked maybe just one scene, maybe where they have a talk, like a really intimate talk about like the political turmoil that Wakanda is going under. Like maybe where we could establish sides.
Yeah.
Because I think we were all a little surprised when Wakabi was like sold to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, does it make sense that Okoye, who's very strong willed and very, like, you know, very principled, would, like, I mean, she was, like, clearly very offended by that, but I needed a little bit more. I needed more Okoye and Wakabi. I thought there was, like, more to explore there. What do you think?
Yep. I agree with that. I don't have much on that, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You are a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is correct.
But overall, we loved Black Panther. We loved seeing all of the cool, like, things. I adored music. The music was my favorite part, hands down. I could have watched that movie with my eyes closed and still probably enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Last closing statement. One of the things that this movie really diverges from other MCU and Marvel Universe movies is its seriousness. And this is a lot of props to the director, Ryan Coogler, for this. Something called bathos, right? That's the underplaying of a serious moment with comedy. So you see this a lot in Guardians of the Galaxy and Iron Man, where something serious is going on, and then the characters kind of just play it off flippantly, like,
this is a comic book.
This is a comic book, this is fun. This works for Marvel. In fact, this is one of the main things that that differentiates Marvel movies from DC movies. DC is overly serious and dour and so sad and blue, 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 I'm gloom. Right?
No colors.
No colors. Why no colors?
We like colors.
Thank you, Wonder Woman, for changing that. Anyway,
yeah,
back
Wonder
to the
Woman.
Whole thing.
We liked Wonder Woman.
We did. Anyway, back to it. Here in Black Panther, serious stays serious. When there is something that is heavy or emotionally weighty going on, we stay with it. No jokes, no flippancy. It's just, this is what it is. We're going to have to deal with it now. During T'Challa's death scene, or pseudo-death scene, we cry. There's no jokes made. There is nothing that says, hey, this is not going to be serious. We stay serious for the remainder of the movie, actually. I don't think there are any more jokes after that.
Yeah, well, there are a few. But you're right.
Yeah.
Ryan Coogler really does a good job of, like, giving us those moments. And I think that that's very important. And I see that being something that they lose in the sequels as it becomes more of, like, a money machine. And that's kind of my whole point with doing this podcast, is that we don't want to see Black Panther become that. We don't want to see Black Panther just become another money-making machine. Black Panther is positioned really well to say something important that's going to affect a lot of people. And a lot of people are going to see it. And, like, that's why we're doing this podcast. Like, that's why I write my blog, is because we feel that movies with this scope and scale have a responsibility to say something and teach something to the masses. So, don't fuck it up, Black Panther.
Well said, Nat. Well said.
Again, I'm Nat D. This was...
Josh Thomas.
Josh Thomas. And this was Critic of Everything signing out. But again, thank you so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. You can connect with us on Twitter @critic_of_ev or our blog, acriticofeverything.wordpress.com, which I will be purchasing the domain name as soon as I get my tax refund.
Those taxes. it's season.
Yeah, don't forget to do your taxes, America.
It's tax season.
You don't want those audits.
Wabbit season.
Mm-hmm.